Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Hey, Sherry. I couldn't hear you for a second. Here was our assignment. You can search throughout the entire universe for someone who is more deserving of your love and affection than you are yourself, and that person is not to be found anywhere. You yourself, as much as anybody in the entire universe, deserve your love and affection. In the Bible, we're told that the sun rises on the evil and good, and rain falls on the just and the unjust. We sense in that a continuum rather than a duality. Only ego, with its divide and conquer strategy of dualistic thinking, brings in the issue of deserving. What the Buddha is offering us is the opportunity to realize that since all, us included, is the unconditional love of all that is, of course, one expression of the unconditional is not more worthy than another. What we experience for ourselves through practice is that when one node of intelligence is embraced into the unconditional oneself, an opening is created for all nodes of intelligence to enter. That's the part we get to play, opening that portal by choosing the unconditional. Today, look for beauty around you. Recognize the looking and the beauty as expressions of the unconditional and feel that portal opening. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
All right, first caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Isata here.
Hello.
I don't know if you could tell you were in my bag today.
I can tell, and that's how I always know it's you. Home safe and sound, it sounds like.
Exactly. I arrived home last night, so I'm still blissed out. And I read yesterday assignment this morning because yesterday I was traveling until very late, and I was so fascinated by this idea of the portal that when we are present, we can be a portal. And I don't know if I understand it correctly, but does it mean that being totally present, we can also be a portal to other people's presence?
Yes, if I'm understanding what you're asking. So when we are in the presence of someone who is present, we have an increased opportunity to move into presence. We recognize it. We
yes.
recognize that experience in ourselves. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes. Oh, it was so beautiful because, well, I had such a fantastic model of this with you and the people at the retreat. And then on my traveling back, there was a taxi driver in there going to the airport asking me, like, so how did you spend your year? Oh, my God, you paid to go on a retreat? Haha, I could have taught you that. Why didn't you pay to me? And I was able to be present with this guy, and we had a great conversation. And at the end, when we arrived at the airport, he got off the taxi to shake my hands, and I thanked him, and he thanked me. And it was like all a miracle of presence, which would never have happened if I hadn't spent the previous 5 days the way I spent it. But it was fantastic. Not that I was a portal, but that everything was a portal, you know?
Yes.
He was,
yes.
I was.
Precisely. Yes, he was, and what I'm projecting is you could feel the change in him, right? During that time together, you could feel him dropping what he had, what he was bringing to it that was keeping him separate.
Yes.
You know, the kind of and the kind of bantering, oh, well, I know that. Why, you could have paid me to teach you that. That kind of distancing thing that we're conditioned to do, and then getting to the point of really being present together.
Yes, and you know how, why he dropped it? Because I dropped it first. Well, and I dropped it because of what I saw at the retreat that stuck with me, you know. So I could feel the irritation coming up, and I was like, oh, how interesting, this is irritation. And so I stayed with it, and it was all life enabling life to be present, like, it was such a fantastic experience. I was so thankful. It's really so important to come there and see you guys in person, because one really absorbs these things. It's so beautiful.
Yes. Yes, Isota. We're all in that portal together, right? That's what happens when we come together. Yes. And we can feel ourselves being brought into presence together. We don't, the privileged environment, I think, of course, is so essential to that. So there's no going off into that kind of social holding people at bay, protecting ourselves through being cute or clever or smart or whatever the heck ego has going on. There's the privileged environment enables us to drop all of that and just be together. And together we feel ourselves just moving more and more and more into presence, so that by the end of the retreat, that's our whole world.
Yes. You know, when you said the protecting part is and dropping it, it so resonated with me. Yes, it was such a fantastic experience.
Good, good. I'm so glad. And so glad you're home safely and ready to keep on practicing.
Yes. Thank you so much to everyone.
Thank you. Thank
to everyone
you.
That
Enjoy.
Was there too. Thank you.
Okay. Gotcha. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Isota. You know, Sherry, the thing that dropped in that was so perceptive is that way in which people separate by denying someone else's experience.
Yes.
And to recognize that they're giving us information about them rather than anything about us. But the conditioning would take that and make it about me at creating separation further.
Yes.
And that really is, if we're present to it, we don't have to take it personally, and then we can facilitate the situation to connection rather than further separation.
Yes. And because I project with that taxi driver that he was doing what he knew to do to connect. You know, that's what we're all always doing. You know, we're doing what we've learned to do, in order to connect. And sometimes it really it's off-putting, as Isota experienced. And then to stay with that experience of ego rising up to push back against another ego, and staying with that experience, seeing through it, and getting to the other side and opening to the kind of the reaching out that somebody else, the authenticity behind the reaching out that somebody is doing. That was convoluted, but I bet you know what I mean.
Exactly. Well, I'm going to try to bring on another caller, Sherry, because I have some noise in my background that I don't want to come in through the radio show. So here we go. Next
All
caller,
right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Jen in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jen, another made it home safe and sound.
Yes. And I, too, had a lot of beautiful connections with people in traveling, and I project that kind of, just that open-hearted place. I've had a lot of really lovely connections with people and so grateful for the retreat. And just so grateful for practice because I came right home into the backlash. It was like just a couple of things, you know, that conditioning can, like one thing, and I just thought like all the sensations immediately came up. I saw the weather report for here, and it just had frigid in capital letters across my region. And it just this whole, then it was like, conditioning was just off, there's a couple broken things that I came home to that need to be fixed, and it's so crazy. Like, I know I have such deep gratitude for being on the retreat, and I have such deep gratitude for coming home to a house and that there is heat in the house and all of this, but I just am like, watching that place where conditioning wants to just, it's like, nope, have that open-hearted, expanded thing, so now you have to come back with me. And so I'm really, like, so grateful to be on this call today. I did the virtual meditation group this morning, and I just feel so grateful to be able to reach out and have these supports to stay with that open-hearted place.
Yeah, that it's so important, isn't it? We didn't do a lot of encouragements to people at the end of the retreat, and as we left, I thought, I kind of wish we had, because for anybody who hasn't been on retreat with us, everybody turns in their phone, and then at lunchtime, when the retreat is over, people get their phones back, and I see people just standing around, waiting for rides to the airport or whatever, and their phone, just nose against the screen, and I wish that we had said, could you keep that thing off and put it in your pocket. See if you can last 24 hours after the retreat, if that's possible, of not getting caught up. Because what's going to happen is that ego is going to attempt to just suck all of that good energy right out of you and use it for itself, which is what you noticed, right? It's just, okay, here you are. You're back with me. Now let me point out the problems you have, and
exactly, yeah.
And of course, the good news is you're seeing it, right? Instead of just falling into it.
Yeah, absolutely. There's that kind of teetering a little bit. Like I can feel it so pulling, because it's had a lot of success with that, but in the past, and I'm so grateful that at least I know the pattern now. Like, oh right, this is the backlash. This is what it does, because it's amazing. It will try to characterize my whole life as this grim thing, and it that story is so familiar. So I kind of fall for it for a little bit. But, it doesn't take long. Again, thankful for virtual meditation and Project Joy, and I did listen to recordings, and I'm continuing to record, all of that to be like, what? That's insane. I mean, any one of us that's able to get on this phone call, we have such a level of things to be grateful for, and I know that that's the true place, but oh my gosh, I'm grateful that I know about backlash and that there are all these ways to just keep practicing to get clear, because yes, it was so gorgeous to be on retreat, and that's, I think that idea about the phone is a really neat thing. One of my goals is just to, and I started, but to listen back through all of the recordings from the retreat, because I want to keep that with me, just all of that clarity and possibility. I want to keep looking at that perspective. So, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And that's it, isn't it? Whether we're just out of retreat or we're just walking around in life, that's what you're saying is the whole thing. That system is constantly wanting to pull us into what's wrong, what's missing, what's and for us to say, well, that's absurd. Of course that's not true. Look at this. And then, you gave a good example of, yeah, okay, there's frigid weather. I have a house. I'm inside. There's heat in the house. I have food. I can cook the food. I can eat the food. There are just so many things to focus on rather than that story of the one or two things that conditioning might be able to pull out and say, see, this is real. This is, you have a problem here. This is really awful. You need to feel bad about this. Like, no, actually I don't. And, oh, and by the way, I'm not going to.
Yes, exactly. So that's my mission. So I'm so happy that I am here and, yeah, just looking at all those ways to stay plugged in even as I'm fixing the things and getting back to work and doing all the things that are going on. You know, I can have those earbuds in all the, you know, windows in between appointments and all that kind of stuff. So, yes.
Yes. And be grateful that you know, a la the assignment, that being present positions you, in quotes, to be a portal. So when you're with other people, that's what we can be offering is the opportunity of presence rather than indulging ego's imaginary world of what's wrong.
Exactly. Yes. But just lastly say kind of with that, yeah, I got, there's no food in the house is one of the, you know, things that's wrong according to conditioning, right? Which again, I'm so blessed that I can go to a grocery store and get food. It's not a big deal. And there's so much gratitude in that. But anyway, so last night when I got home, I went to Chipotle to get food and I just had the most like heart opening, beautiful conversation with the person at Chipotle, you know, and it was just like, yes, that's what's possible when I don't, you know, go with those voices. So thank you for that reminder too.
Yeah. Just go around being a light best we can. Always, we got our hand. Ego has always had its hand on the dimmer switch, right? Turning it down. Now we got our hand on the dimmer switch. Turning up the light. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, you keep having fun.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you, Jen.
Thanks, Jen.
Bye-bye.
You know, Sherry, the other Jen was talking about a practice that she has with flashcards on them, where every flashcard is a pattern of karma. Because we have a finite number of patterns, right? And you put the pattern on one side of it, and the opposite side has the behavior change or your practice with it. And you practice with those flashcards so that we can know where we are in a conditioned pattern. And then we practice the pattern that replaces it.
God, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Yep.
And fun.
So fun.
Yeah, so I'm watching. So because I've listened to Conditioned Mind a little bit, I know when that conversation starts, right? And so that's what's on my flashcard, I'm guessing.
Right. The karmic pattern. Here's what the voices say. Here's what I believe. Here's what I'm projecting. Uh-huh. Here's the self-hate. And I can even name the pattern, right?
Uh-huh.
My pattern of control or my pattern of loneliness. So whatever it is that my pattern of what's wrong with my life, whatever it is.
Uh-huh.
And then the thing that we know we want the attention to be on, because part of what conditioning gets us with is it initiates the pattern and we just have to go with the programming. And what we're doing in practice is recognizing the pattern and replacing it with being here, whatever the attention, whatever we can do. It's not reversing the pattern, but creating an exit ramp from it and then creating a groove that becomes our antidote, if you will, to that particular programming.
Uh-huh. And I'm guessing that part of that for people, because what you just said about we're not doing the opposite, that's really important. We might in the beginning, right? So if the voice, if the pattern is looking for everything that's wrong, then I might look for everything that's right. And that's on my way to just being here so that I'm living in the present rather than either side of a duality.
Yes.
Wow, that is fun.
The pattern is to look, it's always the ignorance versus awareness, right? That when we're identified with conditioning, the view is very limited. It's only what conditioning is presenting, which causes me to ignore everything else. So it's what, mm-hmm. what Jen was talking about. If I don't have groceries, my life is grim, well, I can go to the grocery store. I can go down mm-hmm. the street and get my food, right? That's not mm-hmm. in awareness when I'm focused on there's no food in the house and my life is grim, because that's the only reality mm-hmm. that I experience. And so that practice is to really create awareness of what is true when the voices have us ignoring that for what they want us to believe is the only truth,
uh-huh.
which is their version of reality.
Now that is so good. Yeah. And doing that whole process is the process.
By yes.
identifying it, writing it down on the little card, uh-huh. looking at, letting life drop in what the antidote is, and doing that whole process is the process that frees us.
Yes, exactly so.
That's brilliant.
All right, here's our next caller. Yeah, you are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Well, it sounds like I need to go out and get some 3x5 cards.
Yes! or just find some paper and make some. Because even cutting 8.5x11 down to the size that you want could be part of the process.
Yes, that's more of my own karma, actually needing to have it be perfect every time I do it. Therefore, it needs to
mm-hmm.
be a 3x5 card. More karma scene.
Mm-hmm.
Something
you have to go get that you may get around to and you may not.
Yes. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Boy, you hit that on the head. Yes. This is Brad in Maryland. And
hello, Brad.
Hello. I'm coming out of a period of about 3 weeks of really being thrown off practice, literally walking around with the devil himself, you know, having me do bad things and coming to the realization, I guess, what I'm getting at that I wanted to talk to you about in regards to what we're doing here is feeling that every time that I come back to practice, despite what conditioning tells me, I'm more familiar with the process of doing what is going to be helpful to me.
Yep.
And in that, I feel like I have changed, and that is not something that conditioning can take away from me with all of its normal arguments.
Yep. Because if you walk around listening to the devil and the devil's talking you into doing things that aren't good for you, things that don't make you happy, what the devil wants you to believe is, I now see, this is who you really are. This is what's underneath all that phony practice that you do. This is the real Brad. And increasingly you realize, actually, it's not. The real Brad. It's exactly the other way around. And thank you, devil, for helping me see that even more clearly than I was able to see it before.
Yeah. Yeah. And to realize the deviant nature of what goes on in that.
Oh, you know,
it's like having my own autographed copy of the Screwtape letters you told me about.
Yes. So. Yes. And, you know, one of the things that I hope we all get in practice is it's not unique. It's not personal. It's just not. It is a process of trying to suck the life out of a human being. So sometimes we fall for it. And when we do, if we see, we learn, we come back more. And what we don't do is any self-hate afterwards, because that's what gives the energy to the devil. And so we come back and we're just that much more committed. We're actually strengthened in our resolve. It's not a bad thing. It's not like we look forward to it happening because it's painful, but there's no self-hate. It's painful, but we don't have to suffer.
Yeah, I'm watching the process of it telling me, you know, your next Zen call, you know, I've been doing, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 times a week meeting my commitments for the past few months. And this past 3 weeks, it's been like 1 out of 7. So I'm like, you know, conditioning's like, oh, wait until you get on that call tonight. How embarrassing it will be. What a letdown. And then I'm just like, he never says any of those things. You know, I mean, this is
right.
Right. Not only that, he probably doesn't even care. He's just there to provide some guidance, you know. So.
That's right. And what you can actually report, you can forget all of that. You can actually just talk about what you've seen as a result. And then you give no more energy to that negativity at all, because that's the true story of this whole thing. It's not that you didn't keep commitments. It's what you've seen as a result of that.
Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
that's
I'm cured for the moment.
On.
But there'll be the next moment and the moment after that and the moment after that. So it's a process.
It's a process, and you're here for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
All righty.
Yep.
Thank you so much to the both
Thanks,
of you.
Thanks, Brad.
And I just want to say thank you so much for guiding through example. I mean, that's a huge commitment to do this for us for a whole year, and it's been quite a ride, so thank you for that.
You are most welcome. It has been an absolute pleasure and continues to be.
Awesome. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, Brad.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Brad. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
Oh, good. Oh, fun.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning. This is Virginia.
Hey, Virginia.
Good morning. Hi.
Home? Are you home?
I just got home yesterday late in the afternoon, so yeah. And I'm can't believe I'm on the call, but I'm happy to be on the call. And I can really identify with both of the first two callers. In fact, I was really thinking that when I came home last night, that I'm not doing anything different, but people are responding to me differently, you know.
Yes.
As I was traveling, I mean, I didn't do anything. but
and magic was happening.
Yeah, magic was happening. It was fascinating. I mean, because I interacted with some people, and at some point they told us our flight was going to be diverted, you know, before we got on the plane. And I don't know, this one person was really upset, and it was really interesting, Sherry, because ordinarily I would have ignored her because she was kind of going on a rant, and we were trying to find out more information. But I guess I just looked at her, and she started telling me about her 8-year-old stepson and just different things and how she needed to get home for him. And I just said, gosh, you know, and I don't know. It's like she calmed down, and I really didn't do anything. But I guess it's that thing.
But you were there.
Yeah, I was there.
You were there. Paying attention to her, hearing her, seeing her.
Yes.
She wasn't alone. Yeah, she had support. Even though from your perspective, you weren't doing anything. You were just present and attentive. And it makes all the difference.
Yeah. Yes, it did. And also even just with bus drivers and different people that, I mean, really, I didn't do anything, but it was like they just looked at me. And, I mean, it was just like a lighting up. Just, it was really interesting.
Yes.
Because I've had that experience before, you know, even if you buy something at the store and somebody, you have like an interaction with them, and it's like, how do they know I'm, you know, I just got off retreat. I mean, you know, yeah.
Right. Well, that's it. You are describing perfectly how it works. That's the portal, right?
That's the portal,
People, we do know. We do know when somebody is here. We do.
Yeah.
We sense it. We feel it.
Yeah.
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 Not everybody, but the people who are also ready to be here, We sense one another.
Yeah, it's really beautiful, and I really appreciate retreating and everything, all the work that it took to go into it and what everybody's showing up. And also, I just wanted to say that last night I did a two-handed recording. I also started to experience backlash last night, and I had enough wherewithal to do two-handed recording. And I just noticed that sometimes it's necessary to do it more than once to kind of get clear.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's that say thank you till you mean it. Say I love you till you mean it. Yes, if it takes 12 two-handed recordings to get past the resistance, do 12.
Okay. Because sometimes even resistance comes into the right hand. It's like the right hand isn't allowed to really say what's going on. It's pushed over. Okay.
Yep. And, Virginia, the importance of that is you're seeing it.
Yeah, right.
Right?
You know,
that's the part that ego always wants us not to notice, that this is a workshop. It's a, we're, all of life is a retreat, and we have exercises that we're doing in our retreat, right? And that's one. Now you've seen that, and it's such an important seeing. So that's
really
a success.
Yeah, good point, Sherry. Thank you. And I just want to say that's one of the real, when I left the retreat on Monday, one of the big things I realized was the hearing the voice or seeing the hearing the conversation is much clearer now. I'm like, oh yeah, that's the conversation more often, you know,
yes.
than
yes.
having a wool pulled over my eyes.
Yep.
And
yep.
And I know I'm going to finish really quick, but then the other thing that I noticed is this, that conditioning is constantly telling me that I need to have huge, big insights before they are valid, which is a scam to get me to discount subtle insights.
Yep.
It says, like, there's not enough. This doesn't count, and it brushes right over them. And I'm just really excited to see that, too, and to say it out loud, because I really want to start focusing on the tiniest of movements or sensations that I'm aware of.
Absolutely. Yes, there's another one, right?
Yes.
You saw that. You got that. Yes.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Now
Thank
I want to focus on every little tiny insight and awareness and moment of being. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Yep. Okay. Thank you so much, both of you.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Virginia. And that brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. Here is our assignment. Wherever you are is the entry point.
Mm.
We talk a lot in practice about now being all that is. There is no past and there is no future. Those are illusions. Only this here now is real. Given that, where is the entry point? Where is the portal we were looking at yesterday? It's right here, right now, isn't it? Did anything come before this year now? Will anything come after this year now? No, there is only ever and always this year now. As the Buddha pointed out, we're always at the beginning. Today, live from the wide-eyed, open-hearted, ready to be of a newborn, eager to taste, touch, smell, see, hear and feel every nuance of life. Record and listen.
Wow. Talk about a new year, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Ashwini.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Bye.